All right, we're back with Imperfect Parenting, and we're still talking about our young men.
We are. This is the month.
But I think there's a few of them out there. I think there's a few boys out there, so we should keep talking about, because we want strong,
healthy, dependable,
amazing young men.
What if we spend the whole podcast just doing that? Different words to describe young men. You'd be like,
I'd need what's a dictionary.
A thesaurus.
Yeah. We'd have to get really clever with all the words that we're using to describe them.
Funny, strong. Okay, I'm done now.
I'm sure we could do it, but it just would be it'd be a process. But we should talk about our
meme. Mm-hmm. Right on time. All right. This one's just a gray square. It's like someone did it. It's some branding here, but big white lettering says, why?
With a period.
Why do my boys pretend to be world-class athletes, yet they can't get their pee in the toilet? Why?
Because it's the wrong sport. And there's mom put no competition in.
It's true.
In there. Like, there's no Cheerios floating in there. First one to sink the battleship.
How many boys is just busy? Like, they're just thinking about something else. They're not actually paying attention. They're thinking about maybe the sport they're playing.
I don't think I've ever experienced that from you, where you're distracted and thinking about something else when I'm asking or talking to you about something.
Okay, we're going to take a moment in front of this audience. And
in case you missed it, it happened in the last podcast. That's why I bring it up. Yeah, I think unless there should be biodegradable,
hey, I'm
like
still recovering.
Battleships and that moms throw in the toilet.
Biodegradable, yeah, I like that.
That
that's an idea.
I mean, it would keep the constant stream on them. You know, you need a solid hit for it to go down.
You need a good 3.5 seconds to actually kill the battleship.
Is that all that you're peeing is 3.5 seconds?
Boys. I was in
that's,
the bathroom.
That's because they go everywhere else.
The other day with men, I'm like, how long are you guys peeing for? I got to go. You're still standing there. That was more like 3 minutes. But
I don't know medically if it's better that you pee longer or shorter or just more frequent, or if it's like a machine gun.
I don't know that this conversation goes anywhere good.
The sprinkler.
I just like listening to you.
I'm not in the urinal area ever.
Good.
So I don't know
that'd be weird.
How this goes. I just know.
Are you needing me to pull this apart for you?
No.
Does anyone care out there?
No, I do like that Lincoln ran into the bathroom last night, our bathroom. He says, I got to pee. And I said, okay, well, I got to pee too. And so he goes in there. Then he turns around and walks out. I said, you're done peeing? He goes, no, I've worked. I got to go poop. Okay. Well, thanks for not using my
bathroom. I pushed the wrong button.
Okay. But this is life with boys. He's like, I'm going downstairs. I'm like, okay. See you later.
You
I'm
yours.
Going to bed.
Funny kid.
Yeah. I don't need you to break down anything.
Good.
I'm just saying, I don't really know.
It's actually kind of private. It's just for men to know about and women to guess.
To wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's some rule there somewhere, I'm sure. All right.
I'll
so
just stay silent over here.
This brings us to our topic that has nothing to do with peeing.
Not at all.
It's not a peeing contest.
Except for they have to be around other men most of the time when they go pee.
I guess men do pee outside a lot. I've talked about Lincoln a lot in here, how he will bypass bathrooms to go outside and pee.
And we talked about that with Seth. But it's true. What was funny was you and my dad were outside in the fire pit area the other night. And it's late. It's dark and it's late. And you or him, I come back around the corner from the house. And I looked at my mom. I said, why? Why do they have to go away instead of just coming in the house? It's actually closer. It's closer to the house than not. She goes, I don't know. Boys are boys. I'm like, seriously. You both do that. I've seen my dad. He leaves the she shed, goes behind the she shed. I know what's happening.
Absolutely.
Why? You guys are just so weird.
Different, Brittany. Okay. Not weird. We are weird.
Go pee on everything.
That's what it is. This is my home. It's my territory.
It's so much more work for a girl to go pee in the out, not on a toilet. All Ashley's right. in here. I just wish that. Can you imagine if we just went and peed like they did? It'd be so much more obvious.
And she-wees do not work very well.
She-wees suck.
Those ladies not, who are backpackers? Yeah.
It's more like a she-weed all over her hand. That's exactly what happened.
Are you camping on the coast? The she-weed? Oh, boy. We're like going on 6 minutes talking about pee. Wow. This must be a boy segment of the podcast.
Well, I'm just saying that was the experience I had with the shiwi. It was
shiwi. I'm stuck on that one. Okay. Goodness sakes. Thanks for sticking with this, people.
You're welcome. All right. Get around other men. That's what we're talking
about.
That's
where we're going today. So, I think there's so many things to talk about here. My heart for this segment today really is just to remind men to practice this themselves first. So fathers, if you're not doing this right now, there are some things coming in Love and Purpose that I would encourage you to look out for. We talked about it on the podcast a little bit with Danny and Christian on Kylo Community. What's that podcast called? The Kylo Show.
Hello. Sorry. And welcome to The Kylo Show.
So many Kylo things around here. The Kylo Show podcast, we talked about Dragon Slayers a little bit and things that are coming. Danny's writing a book. There's going to be opportunities to begin to build a band of brothers around you. Mm-hmm. This is important because our sons are watching.
Yeah.
And I think what happened to me a while ago is it's been there for a long time, but I took a trip with your dad. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bear story in this, and there's all these things to talk about. We'll get to a different day. But when I came home, I realized this has become a non-negotiable for me. That I want to no longer live my life without a band of brothers around me that know me, that are getting deeper with me, that I can kind of grab arms with and move through life, knowing that I'm connected and supported. And I think instilling that in our young men feels so vital.
Yeah.
One of the ways that Danny often says this is that one of the greatest problems in society really is this issue of fatherlessness. And we all agree. We've seen it. We've heard it. It's been talked about extensively. I think the thing we don't often talk about is one of the things that would actually help prevent much of the fatherlessness we're seeing is getting brothers in your life. So the issue is actually brotherlessness. We don't teach men to gather around a brotherhood.
I guess one of the questions I have with that is if you weren't taught to gather around other men, is it because of jealousy? Is it because ignorance? Is it because stubbornness? Is it because just lack of need or desire? Like, what stops you from gathering around other men? Because I think that women typically create the community for their family with school friends and other moms group. I mean, and then the guys just are like part of it. So what's that like resistance? Because if we want our boys to see how valuable friendships are and then keep developing those as they grow older and older, like, and not just stay locked away in their room or not just choose online, you know, I don't know, I think of the video games, like my brothers used to play Halo, but you know, you have a headset on and that's your friend, but that's not really a friend walking with you in life. It's a friend escaping with you in your life. So how do you identify what maybe your roadblock as a father is that's keeping you from helping you develop this with your sons?
That's probably the first thing you just said that I point out is I think, first of all, you have to identify relationships that are going to help you grow and move forward, not keep you stuck where you are. So if the relationships are actually causing you to retreat or go further back in life and not move forward, if your family isn't benefiting and getting the best of you because of this brotherhood, I would reassess. I think the second thing, and really the answer to your question, is I think there's this thing inside men that we feel like we're supposed to do it by ourselves. You know, we hear these things like the self-made man, you know. Really, we have input, but we feel like we're meant to have some thing inside of us that says, I did this myself. This is all me. And there's something about working hard and pushing through hardships, but we're meant to do it with men by our side. And so a self-made man is actually a scary thing. If you have no one around you and you're living in isolation with no need of anybody else, that's probably something that was trained that doesn't actually produce longevity. It doesn't produce health in your family if you live so isolated. And I think it's trained. I think men just have this thing inside of us that I have to do it by myself. To ask for help feels like weakness and I'm giving in. But it's actually humility. And humility is one of the greatest displays of strength.
Yeah, that's the place of, I mean, I know we've been talking and thinking about you. I would say more you. I'm more, you tell me things. But with Lincoln, rounding 13 mm-hmm. is a big deal for you.
Yep.
Getting him in a space with other men that you see as encouragers, resource, valuable relationships that are not necessarily related to us, mm-hmm. but are trusted men that you see. You're trying to figure out, how do I get my son, who's entering into manhood at the age of 13, around those guys to do something that helps usher him into manhood? And it is definitely happening. Yes, I mean, I'm watching him change and grow in front of me, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it makes sense that you make a big deal of this and then put on display you do this with other great men.
Yeah.
You know, what if you don't have that? Because I know that we live in a world right now where there's a lot of fatherlessness that's happened, and there's a lot of single moms that they hear this whole series on boys and fathers and men in their life, and they feel immediately disqualified because they can't be that.
Yep.
And they're not supposed to be that. They're supposed to be the role of the mother who has to play both parts at times, which shouldn't be what she has to do, but that's what she's been dealt. That's where it's at. Mm-hmm. So how do you help cultivate this culture and community of getting around men that help our boys turn into amazing men? How do you do that when you feel like you're disqualified because you don't have a husband and a father that is a great example mm-hmm. in their life?
Yeah, I think we've had the honor and opportunity to do this with multiple young men who came from those kind of homes with a single mom. I often think of the verse in Proverbs where it says that God puts the lonely in the family.
Mm-hmm.
What that tells me is God knows what you need.
Yeah.
And God knows the people you need. And so there's probably people around you. It takes risk. It takes some courage.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes some being uncomfortable for you and for your son to invite some certain men in that probably have qualities that you know your son needs, mm-hmm. that you want instilled in your son. So, there's multiple young men that we think about throughout the years that I happened to be in the right place at the right time where our paths crossed and there was some kind of conversation with the mother, like, will you pour into my son?
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation just recently. This one, I was a youth pastor for many years, so they actually put me in the seat often.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the only place where it happened, but often that's where I found myself. But I was with this young man recently. He's now in his 20s. He's thriving. He's doing a great job. And back then, I was telling him, he actually forgot. I said, we'll get to this point in conversations often where we'd be talking about life and how you're doing. And we get this spot in your development as a young man. And as soon as I asked about your dad, you would shut the conversation down. You mm-hmm. couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have the conversation because he left. You were so mad. You were so hurt. Just could not believe your dad acted that way. And 15 years later, we're having this conversation just a few days ago, sitting outside by a fire. And he's telling me about how this Christmas, he's going to go spend Christmas with his dad.
Hmm.
And he said, it's the first time that I'm not coming with some expectation that won't be met. I'm going to leave disappointed and in pain. And he's just describing to me, really, he's actually telling me how me walking with him has been helpful. And then other men in his life that he's pulled in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the opportunity of, I don't think it's really as difficult or as intricate as we make it sound. It's just becoming the encourager. Start there.
Mm-hmm.
Just find a young man, or for your young man, find a man that can first just become an encourager. This is one of the things that Benny Leach has done a great job articulating, is in discipleship with men and boys, I think it starts with just become the greatest encourager. And then we can start talking about, you know, virtues and things to build in your life and all that kind of stuff. But if your son feels like he's got something in his life that's going to pour courage into him and encourage him, then that's the kind of man that you want to pull in.
Hey, parents, let's be real. As every parent from the beginning of time has discovered, kids don't come with a manual. Parenting is a learning journey from the beginning to end. And like all learning journeys, it's full of lessons, challenges, questions, mistakes, and messes. One of the biggest reasons so many of us get scared, discouraged, frustrated, and overwhelmed as a parent is we think the goal of parenting is to become perfect parents who raise perfect children. Which leads us to adopt the fear-driven strategies that focus on avoiding mistakes and messes, and we use control and punishment to change behavior. I wrote a book called Imperfect Parenting, where I explain the true goal of parenting, a safe, loving, heart-to-heart connection with our kids. Pursuing the goal of connection is what sets us up to influence the hearts, minds, and behavior of our children as we guide them on their own learning journey to becoming healthy, confident, and emotionally intelligent. This book will give you the tools you need to lay down the goal of perfection and become fully engaged in your journey of building a healthy, connected family culture where your children can thrive. You can find Imperfect Parenting by going to www.lovingonpurpose.com and clicking store. That's www.lovingonpurpose.com and click store.
You know, in my book, I talk about a single mom and a boy in a situation that we walked through with him having a hard time respecting his mom and being no fun to be with, so he ended up at our house.
Yep.
I'll let you go and read it. It's a great story.
I already read it.
Oh, okay. I think you were there. I think he just turned like 24 or something like that. So that was weird to think about because I think he was like 11 when he came over to our house. So, but I also, maybe he was younger than that, but I think about, you know, even still now, maybe you're not in, you know, youth group days, so you don't have teenage boys, but you have these young men that still don't have that father figure in their life and they're in a different season, but they look to you because they see that you've rallied around other men and that you are a secure man that is leading his family well and leading his life well. And so they still come to you. I think that's the other thing is I would work on for single moms is to teach your boys how to look for healthy men.
Yeah.
And to give them opportunity to be in that. And even for, you know, whether you're a single mom or not, if your son has a youth leader or a youth pastor or a coach or somebody that's got great things going on in their life, that is a Christ following, that has accountability, that is safe, and they have connected with your son, fan that flame. Like, let it happen. Like, let this exchange, let that them be that encourager because it only helps you.
Yep.
It only helps reinforce what it is that you're saying that's not going in. And so I'm right now, like, Lincoln has this young man named Sam. Sam is similar but very different than you. And Sam is so sweet. And Sam has such a heart for these boys to see them be successful. And what I'm watching is Lincoln sees Sam. He sees him that he's healthy, he's safe, and that he gets around his dad, which is he trusts his daddy, so he's trusting Sam. And Sam's going to probably be a strength to Lincoln in a way that we couldn't. Same with Lincoln's Taekwondo teacher. Mm-hmm. Like, if I needed something, I would tell Mr. Westfall, and he no doubt would come alongside Lincoln. I mean, I remember Lincoln just did his second degree black belt testing, and he does this to me every single time. It stresses me out, but he has three chances to break his boards, and he doesn't the first two times. And what's funny is I don't remember Mr. Westfall yelling any of the other kids' names out. He probably could have, and I could only have heard him say Lincoln's name. But what I heard was Mr. Westfall's in a different section. He's supposed to be judging their forms, not judging their board breaks. And Mrs. Westfall's over there. I hear Mr. Westfall, but I can hear this man's voice yelling to my son, "Come on, Lincoln. You hit it as hard as you can." And I'm like, that acknowledgement, that courage, it does something. And so Lincoln got out there and he did it on the third try. We all did. Sam came for that. But we've taught Lincoln to look for this and to receive it. That's the other part, is being able to receive it.
Yeah.
And so whether you're single parenting it or not, that's what you want to cultivate in your boys, is this ability to look and get around healthy men that are going to be great encouragers to help them develop that meekness, that tenderness, to press in. And I don't know that Mr. Westfall is a Christian, but he's not scaring me on anything. He's just encouraging Lincoln to be brave and to face his fears, try harder, teach him how to teach other people. I mean, it's just, he's given him so many other things that we could do as well, but it just helps to have someone reinforcing it.
Yeah. And I think there's even kind of an anointing, just as you shared that story. I think that there's a breakthrough for some parents today, as you hear the Mr. Westfall story, as he's ignoring what he should be doing and tuning into our son to send that encouragement and that strength his way. I think that's probably a great thing to start praying for too. If not already, you may already be praying, but just take that story as a fueling prayer and testimony of, this is what God has for my son. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're a single mom in that kind of scenario, or if you have a thriving home, but you know that your son needs some other input to continue to grow and develop things that's in him.
Absolutely.
You said something a minute ago about, you referred to me as a secure man, which, first of all, thank you. You know, I live with me.
You do.
I do, every day. So there's obviously these insecurities and things still come up, but I feel like I've come so far.
Yeah.
And when I think about that, the thing I point at is it's inviting other men in. I could sit here and tell you about every conversation that stands out to me where it's built something inside of me that I was missing, and the men that have been pivotal in that story. And I think naturally what happens is I'm going to turn around and do the same thing for other young men. So I find myself probably getting a couple of texts or calls a week from young men saying, "Hey, can we meet? Can we chat? Can we?" It just happened on Sunday again.
And it would.
It's just my desire. And and probably there's something inside of me that the men are seeing. Like, I think there's strength that I want to access. And I think Ben can help me. And it's such an honor. It's a huge honor.
Well, I would say your meekness is also on display, in that you feel so approachable, but you're also desired because there's strength that they see. Mm-hmm. But you don't have a filter of arrogance or anything that would keep them from wanting to approach you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think if you got kids, sons, and you find yourself feeling threatened by other men, I think that's probably a good place to look at and say, well, what does your own life look like with men?
That's great.
Because it's the goal is that we're in community. The goal is that our children are drawing strength from the relationships that we draw strength from, or that we can see as that's a resource that is wonderful. There's something for you to learn over there, you know. And I, especially as Lincoln's getting older and he's in youth group and all the things, and he's got this relationship with Sam and his youth leader, Emma. And I know Jonathan will be in there too, no doubt. So I just look at these people and go, oh, this is just a really great resource for him. And he's only going to get strength if I do a good job of not getting in the way.
Yeah.
And if I need something, I can have conversations. But, you know, that's the beautiful part, is that I'm not looking at this and I think my kingdom's threatened. I look at this and go, okay, oh, wow, my kingdom is expanding because my son is going to take bigger territory because he's starting at a younger age than even I did.
Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I just to kind of wrap this thought up, I think One of the things that most men carry pretty loud is this desire for competition. Mm. And my friends recently put on this great and awesome men's conference, and they did all these games. Mm-hmm. And these men are serious. They got crazy. Real. Mm-hmm. So the point that a fist fight broke out at this Christian men's, it was fantastic. They said it was awesome. But what happened is it gave the opportunity to actually lean in and turn this into a healthy exchange and a growing opportunity. Rather than...
For the fist fighters?
All of them. Oh. Just the two groups involved. We got to actually have a conversation about this and go, okay, what was the problem? And then we feel more connected on the other side of like this healthy competition. It obviously crossed the line. Mm-hmm. No one's trying to start a fist fight. But this thing happens inside of them, right? That I think men, it's a good thing. That competition thing is meant to be there. But when it comes out in an unhealthy way, that's when the jealousy and all these things start to happen. Mm-hmm. And so I think learning how to create that, really what it is it's learning how to fail in front of other men and then still feel accepted, still feel important and desired in that group.
Well, I'm making room for growth, I would imagine.
Yeah. Because if the fear of failure is so freezing to me, it just freezes me and stops me, then I won't do this. I won't invite other men in my life. So I think, fathers, I keep talking to you, men. I think this is so important for you to practice so we can give this away to our sons and the young boys around us. Mm-hmm. Such a big deal.
It's great.
Awesome.
I love it. Okay, let's answer our question that we've got. Says, I love the tools you provide and the stories you share of your own journey. Thank you. I try to enable my kids to experience the consequences of their choices, but my challenge is that those choices often impact the other kids. I have four kids, ages 5 and under. That's a busy house. If one is refusing to put on their shoes, everyone else is late to school. If one refuses to walk home, the baby misses a nap and gets really miserable. How can I enable my kids to be in control of their lives without their choices controlling each other's lives? Well, you are in a unique stage because 4 under 5 is a it's a little busy body place because there's a lot of needs. There's a lot of needs in kids under 5, and you have 4 of them. So let's lean into grace. Let's lean into the reality of maybe you're in a season where this has an impact and it's hard. And those toddler years, they are hard. Mm. They are hard, which is, I think, why we get lazy, because they are so hard. We're like looking for a break. Like, oh, it's easy. Okay, I'm just going to give in. I'm just going to stop. We can't stop. So we got to keep leaning in. So it's similar to another question we had not very long ago, is just adjusting expectations. Mm-hmm. So trying to set yourself up for success. What are things that you can do the night before? What are things, if someone refuses to walk home from school, what plan could you put into play? If that person decides not to walk home from school, could you call somebody to pick them up? And could that child have to pay back, in hassle time that your friend had to pick them up? I think this is the hard part of inconveniencing somebody, but having a plan for these things. And she's got some great examples, which likely it's happening more than once. So creating a plan for yourself is going to help you create you feeling powerful. Yeah. And that's what I'm hearing. She feels a little bit powerless, and she feels like everyone's being impacted, and she doesn't want that. I get that. Your season is very unique right now in that you got a lot of really young kids. So baby missing a nap because you have to go pick up somebody, maybe that's the hassle time. Like, oh, buddy, I'm so sad that you're choosing this, because this means that you're hassling me, which means you're going to have hassle time because I'm going to have to deal with your sister that's no fun now, or your brother that's no fun because he misses nap. You don't want to put on your shoes? No problem. You could totally go somewhere without your shoes. But, so I think – realign and assess what is worth the battle, what is not.
Yeah.
Do you want your coat or your shoes today? And my feet are cold. Oh, I bet they are cold. I'm so sorry. oh, bummer. Oh, all the people that have shoes get to walk in the store. You have to sit in the cart in the store. Everybody that has shoes gets a treat. Man, you don't have shoes today. Oh, I'm so sad for you. I mean, those are still things that you can do, which so the next time when they go, I don't want to put shoes on. Okay, well, we're going to the store today. Their little brain's going to go back, go, yeah. Oh. But not having a plan for those moments makes you feel more powerless.
Yeah.
So in the stage that you're in, grace to you. Thank you for listening. Mm-hmm. And then I would create some plans so that you feel a bit more prepared when they make a poor choice rather than frustrated and feel rendered powerless to that poor choice.
Yep. I was going to say the same thing. I think even just picking a couple days a week to have a friend volunteer or jump in and help, even where possible. You know, you could spend a little more time with the kids at home or a little more time walking home with the kid that's coming to probably have some of these conversations and even implement consequences a little more relationally with a little extra time rather than trying to do it all yourself. So even just a couple of days a week or even one day a week, if there's someone that's willing to volunteer and help you, it gives you some grace, it gives you a breather, and it gives you some quality time with these kids that you don't normally get because you're rushing and juggling. And
if you put these practices in and you have the actual consequence where it feels like a consequence, you may not have to do it very often.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that's the other part looking at that. But
beautiful.
Good question. Love it. Great conversation. Even though we talked about pee a lot. It was funny.
It's the pee episode.
Mm-hmm. On imperfect parenting. We'll see you next time.